Now imagine you're on a long drive across Washington State. It's snowy. You're on a dark country road. You're tired, maybe tempted to take a nap, but you're carrying precious cargo. Not logs, not apples, not fish. You're carrying words. Such is the life of the Washington State Poet Laureate. And last night, there was a changing of the guard. Gonzaga professor Todd Marshall handed the laurel wreath to Claudia Castro Luna. She's an immigrant from El Salvador and the first person of color to hold the title. Todd, you have a deep love of language, but you asked people to tell you the words they hate. Why did you do that? And what's the most hated word in Washington?
There's an immediate top three that I'll share in just a second. But, you know, I think that I share that conversation with people, you know, usually as a foil against the words that we love question, because we all have words that we just love to hear. We love to chew on when we say them. They're music to our ears. But then there's the cringe list. Moist, number one.
I've heard that. People hate the word moist.
All ages, all demographics, moist is the most reviled word.
That would have been news to my home cake-baking mother, who I remember that being a wonderful word, but I've heard that.
Two and three are slacks and chunks.
Slacks and chunks.
Yeah, there's something about that sibilance that maybe, I don't know, but those are the three cringe words. And that's usually a starting point. And then the answers that people start to share, you know, go away from that. And maybe they'll start sharing words that connect to personal experience and have all of the baggage of memory that make them so reviled. You know, but it's a fun entry point just thinking about the sounds of words and how sounds can make us cringe.
Claudio, is there a word you hate? Could you imagine?
Oh, my God. No, I was thinking more the opposite, actually. I was thinking of the way words, like you said, contain. They're more than just these, you know, these syllables or these letters, right? They really contain memory and really selfhood. So I was thinking of the word mango, for instance. What? It's a fruit, right? It's a fruit that we could purchase at the supermarket. And yet for me, mango is not just a mango, you know? I don't even buy mangoes because I love them so much that the ones I see don't quite measure up to the ones I remember. And every time I see a mango or I say the word mango, it is a whole flood of stories that run immediately parallel in my head. And I know that we all have words like that that are so full of meaning that just, they're not just simple words, you know? So I was just thinking more in the opposite sense of the memories that word contains in a sense of selfhood that is often attached to, you know, what could be a simple word.
Your selfhood feels attached to the word mango?
Oh, yeah. I mean, everything about my childhood is centered around, and I've written about mangoes and how they are, you know, ersatz for home in a way, ersatz for family. And when I say family, of course, I think of my dad climbing the mangoes or stories of gathering mangoes when they fell or mango season. I mean, these are multiplicity of thoughts and emotions that just flood in me at the mention of that. So it's identity in a way, you know, the way some words work and are able to trigger all of that like a floodgate.
Let's talk about our state. You work at Gonzaga University. You live in Spokane. Did you try to build a bridge across the Cascade Curtain?
Well, I think that I was really attentive when I had events on the west side of the Cascades. You know, I would try to make bridges in terms of the physical beauty of our state. I would also try to mention amazing writers and artists connected with the opposite side of the mountains from where I was currently speaking. And so, you know, I just tried to make people aware of how there are, incredibly thoughtful, incredibly artistically inclined, wonderful people throughout the state of Washington.
Mm-hmm. I got invited, actually, by Todd to come over to Wenatchee to do a poetry writing workshop in Spanish. And there we were, the two of us in January, snow, cold, Wenatchee. And the crowd was very mixed. I mean, there were some Latino young students there and also local folks, older white folks, you know. But after the reading, there was three young people who stood on the sidelines and came to talk to me. And part of the poems talked about mythic figures of El Salvador. You know, these are legend figures. And I wove them into a poem. When I read the poem, I thought, nobody's going to get this, but this is the poem I brought, and I will read it. And so it turns out that two of those kids were born in the U.S., but of Salvadoran parents, and had never heard these stories, which was quite astounding for me that they, I mean, this is like pure core of a Salvadoran person would be to know these mythic characters.
You would think their parents in the States would pass that on?
Yes, yes.
Did you find out why they
hadn't? I was surprised because my own children know this story because I've told them, you know. But I think it has to do with erasure of painful memories as well. The kids also talked about the Salvadoran Civil War as the reason why their parents were here and how they never talked about this. The parents never talked about the war and perhaps many other things that are part of being Salvadoran, you know, that got kind of missed in that kind of erasure. So it was just a very touching evening for me, and that I connected with these young people. And
I do want to ask you a reflection on that. Just, it occurs to me, that's another little tragedy, is that from that conflict, it sounds like, that these kids lost a bit of their parents and a bit of their culture.
Yep.
Now what do you remember about that day?
Well, what's fascinating is listening to Claudia talk about it brings back the day. And I've kind of, you know, in the last 3 weeks been in that reminiscing mode and, you know, looking at places on the map and going, oh my gosh, I remember this restaurant there. Oh my gosh, I remember this poet there. Oh my gosh, you know, that's the first time I met Tom Robbins or whatever. But that day began with the Women's March.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it did.
Oh, really?
So it began with a, you know, a really visceral outpouring of people. And, you know, it was a day where, you know, I think we felt a little empowered. I think that we felt a little bit frustrated. I recall one car of teenagers. I think they were in a, I'm guessing they're teenagers, but maybe a Volkswagen of some sort, kind of circling around and taunting us the whole time. And that was the only real ugliness that transpired. But I remember that march unfolding. And then going straight into poetry stuff after that and doing the workshops with the communities. And then the evening reading and feeling at the end of the night, hopefulness that I hadn't felt in a few days, that I hadn't felt in a few weeks, because I saw how words brought people together.
Mm-hmm. You want to create a book of poems about stories of arrival in Washington State. Is that right?
Yes. You know, I mean, the idea is to put together a book that is about how do we find common ground in a state that is so broad, so differently, with so many different geographical areas and ecosystems, both people-wise and just nature as well. And what is something that we could both reflect, all of us reflect back on? And thinking about that, I landed on this idea that this is a very new state. It's only 129 years old. And I think there's trees in Washington that are older than 129 years old. And so I'm thinking that most people in the state have in their personal histories, in their family histories, some story of arrival. Somebody came to Washington and toiled or worked very hard and found their way in. And just as they came 100 years ago or 50 years ago or 75 years ago, we have new people coming in. So I think that that is an area of common ground, and I'd like to explore that some more. And the original idea was for myself to write poems, my own poems, about stories of arrival and think about all the different arrival stories in Washington State. But now as I speak about it, I think, you know, maybe the idea is to collect stories. Just a series of poems that could be almost like broadsides that then could be shared in libraries across the state.
What would your arrival story in that book be?
Well, I came to Washington because my husband is a housing activist, and he got recruited to work for King County. And we had been in California for a while. And I had given up my job as a teacher coach. I was a master teacher coaching teachers in the schools. And I had given it all up to go and write poetry. And so I was at a very good time where I didn't have an employer. I was writing, and so I could move, and that's how we came. And the surprising thing about me is that from the moment I got here, I find a deep affinity to Seattle. It's been very striking for me because as somebody from Central America, it seems like the farther north I've gone in my 37 years of living in the U.S., the more at home I feel. I mean, I'm as close to being in a different country at this point, I think, as I'll ever get.
Why do you think you feel more at home as you travel north in the States?
You know, I don't know. The weather is absolutely different. I don't know if it's more of a personal temperament with the landscape and the weather and just the pace of life and the people and the community of writers that I have found here. It might be that. I think it has to do more with a personal temperament.
Todd Marshall, what arrival story would you write?
Well, I was thinking about that. You were talking south to north. I came east to west. I was born in Buffalo, New York, and I came to Washington in 1999 purely for mercenary reasons. The academic job market makes one go where a job is available, and so I arrived at Gonzaga. And now I've lived here much, much longer than any other place that I ever stayed in my life. And I think that I was very attached to Washington State in 2016. Now Washington State is imprinted upon me. All of the different back roads, all of the different towns, all of the different scenic vistas, I think are now a part of me in a way that is pretty compelling.
We're talking about words here appropriately with our incoming and outgoing Washington State Poet Laureates, Claudio Castro Luna, the new one, Todd Marshall, outgoing Poet Laureate. What do you want to say to listeners who maybe don't feel as comfortable with words and poetry yet as you do? What do you want to say to them about what poetry can be?
Well, I think in some ways my journey as Washington State Poet Laureate changed from being a journey revolving specifically around talking about how important poetry is to a journey that was trying to advocate how words matter. And so early on at a lot of my events, I talked about memorizing poems and how memorizing a poem can be a gesture of welcome. It can be a bridge of sorts between yourself and some other experience, some other vision of the world. I think, though, over the course of my journey, that the message that I tried to deliver is, you know, maybe poetry is the place where you will find those words that matter most to you. And if so, that's awesome. Big thumbs up from Poet Laureate. I'm very happy about that. But the most important thing is that you find words that matter to you, that speak to you, that open the world to you, that show you how the world should be, and you extend them the welcome of letting them into your heart and memorizing them, whether we're talking about words found in the Gettysburg Address or words found in the Bill of Rights or words found in a psalm or a favorite novel. Welcome those words inside of you, carry them around with you. And I believe that that welcoming gesture, that hospitality of taking the words inside of oneself, I believe that gesture might allow us to be a little more welcoming of the world writ large, of people who are different from us or people who have different experiences from ours. And you know, that might be a first step toward changing things in a positive way.
How about you, Claudio?
Well, I always think of words and the power of story. And, you know, when I was the civic poet of Seattle, I did a whole bunch of workshops across the city at various libraries. And one of my favorite exercises, I just did one actually in the Southwest branch of the public library. And this were to an elderly group. So this is a group of folks that meets to discuss various topics once a month at the library. And this time it happened to be me leading a workshop. And, you know, there's this sense of reticence when I say, oh, you know, this is who I am, and we're going to write a poem, and I guarantee you we're going to all share at the end of, you know, of the hour. And of course, nobody's smiling. And then I usually start with a prompt that taps into memory. I have found it a very useful tool to show where language could take you and how, if you are able to remember, then, you know, you're able to write something. And we all have memories, right? And of course, everybody writes something because they remember. And invariably, at the end, they're very surprised that they actually have something on the page that looks very similar, because the use of language in those poems is very, you know, our everyday speech patterns with the music of the everyday in them. And so they're not researched poems. They're really, you know, just kind of first thought, best thought kind of thing. And this last time, a woman sat back after I asked if people want to share a line or read what they wrote. And this woman said to me, well, do you do workshops? You know, do you lead people in workshops? And I said, you know, I don't. I mean, I do workshops like this, and I do workshops in various places, but I don't offer like private workshops or anything like this. She said, this was very useful. I never thought that poetry could be like that. And so for me, it's very much tied to story. And if we're able to capture something that is in our memory about relationships with people or a place, then I think you begin to, I hope that there is something about beginning to glimpse into the transformation of what a poem could do. And that a poem doesn't have to look like a traditional poem in stanzas and with end rhyme, etc. That it could be very much what you're saying in the way in which you say it. And that there's an opening and self-discovery there that happens. That is really, I've loved every time I've been part of that experience, watching in somebody's, in their mood, you know, just sharing what they wrote.
It's not just the poet laureate bringing you poems. It's you're setting off something in your listener.
Yeah, and it's you writing your own. I mean, I think that's what I'm interested in, much more so than sharing my own poems, is you write your own poem. You tell me something. You know, share with me something, share with us something about yourself.
Yeah, let's make some poetry together.
Yeah, yeah.
That's Todd Marshall and Claudia Castro Luna, Washington State Poet Laureates, past and present.